This would be, I hope this would be like a weird recording. My energy, I think I like my energy. My energy's lower.
Yeah.
My energy's lower, and it's been a minute, but I think this will be good.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know where my energy's at. I just like woke up from a nap, which is why we pushed back recording, because I woke up later than I intended to, and I was a little frazzled. Woke up in darkness and was like, ugh!
And then you woke up, killed, and then skinned Clifford the big red dog to make a sweater out of him.
Yes. Got cozy, you know, for fall.
The cozy for fall.
Put on the sweater. Did the fastest research I've ever done.
Jesus Christ.
And then sent you the email. I like had an idea, but I was like, okay, I think this is it. And then I like made time. I'm like, okay, I'm going to work. I'm going to eat. I'm going to nap. And then I'm going to research. I'm going to have all this time. Amazing. I can look into it for hours. And then guess what? I fucking slept.
There we go. That's goddamn fair. Well, the biggest news for the podcast right now is that we have a new mascot.
Yes!
I got a fucking cat.
A fucking cat.
I got a fucking cat, and I love him so much. Because I'm not a cat. I've never been a cat guy. I've always been ambivalent to malevolent to cats. Like, I don't do evil to them. I don't do evil to cats. But I had, like, lukewarm to slightly dour feelings towards cats, but yeah. I've always for the past 3 years, I guess, I love the breed, the British Shorthair.
Mm-hmm.
And for the listener, that's like it's the I can has cheeseburger cat.
Yeah.
And I've always wanted one. And then my best friend's sister got one. His name is Bernard, and I fucking Amazing. Love Bernard, even though Amazing he could name. Not he could not care less about me.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, I got this cat. His name is Milon.
Milon.
Because I got because I live in France. I live in France, Canada. And I'm not, and because I've tried to say that name without the French accent. I go like, hey, Milon. Ew.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to, and I'm not like as a Anglophone going to go Milon every time I say my cat's name. So I'm renaming it. It was going to be Tobias for a little bit, but you can't say it cute. You can't go like Tobias. No. So Tobias didn't work.
Well, Tobias. I would just do very weird sounds.
Yeah. Like I wanted Tobias to work so much, and then I was going to name him Milosh.
Mm.
But I think I'm deciding now on Seymour. However, his name is Seymour, but more often than not, I just call him Mr. Kitty.
Yeah.
So his name would be Seymour / Mr. Kitty.
Got it.
I've had him
Seymour for first name, last name, Butts?
There is a porn tycoon named Seymour Butts, who this is named directly. No, it's Seymour Skinner from The Simpsons. Because I almost named him Armin Tamzarian, who is the secret identity of Seymour Skinner, but Armin sounds stupid.
Skinner, like the principal or teacher?
Yeah, you got a principal.
Nice.
Proud of you.
Thank you.
God, the lighting is so bad in my apartment.
Do you have a lamp on your table, on your desk?
No.
That's what you need.
I probably should. I'm so bad I think it's something I got from my dad, where it's like there's some stuff I just hate to spend money on, which is just useful things to have around the apartment. I don't want to spend money on it. I'll buy a case of beer and I'll do Uber Eats every day. Well, I don't do Uber Eats. I don't do that. But I'll buy beer and cigarette gum like willy-nilly.
Yeah.
But getting a lamp? What?
Yeah.
I can't. But I should.
I can't. I never thought that, like, you know, there's so many things that when you're younger, you're like, I'm not going to care about that. Why? I can't even process, like, what curtain rod is going to be nice, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not going to care about that shit. What the fuck? And then you grow up and you go, you like, search all the home senses in the world for particular baskets, like, for one fucking week. All that was in my brain was trying to find the perfect basket for my, like, bookcase thing. And the way that these baskets plagued my fucking life, Jason, for this 1 week. It was insane. It got to the point where, like, my boyfriend had to intervene and go, okay, let me go to the store and find these baskets for you because you've been to everywhere.
I'm gonna fucking kill you.
Literally.
Oh, you were, like, going to the stores?
I was going to the stores. I was scouring online. Like, page 4 of Amazon, page 2 of Walmart results, you know? Like, I was searching for baskets.
That's just such a symptom of a mental breakdown.
Really, at the end of it, was like, it would have been like 3 hours of me looking at baskets, and I put my phone down and just rubbed my eyes and was like, what the fuck just happened?
Because, like, that's when you see the news of, like, local Etobicoke Filipino woman plows into crowd of onlookers with her car after leaving a Bed Bath & Beyond. Like, that's how that happens.
Yeah. I can see where that happens. Now I've been in it. Someone pulled me out of there. So, God bless.
That's something I do, like, when you're a little kid and you just hear about these psychotic break mass murders. And you're like, what the fuck? And because you're a little kid, you're not stressed out. And then once you're in your 20s and you're just so stressed out and life just keeps kicking you in the balls every day. Then you go to the grocery store and then you pay for a can of pasta sauce and then you drop it outside and it shatters. I'll kill 12 people.
Yeah.
Like if I drop my Classico tomato basil after no, what I've been
not
through.
The Classico.
I will kill anyone I see if I just have one of those days.
Oh yeah, yeah. That was me very much this week. You either get to a point where literally anything will just cause some sort of breakdown for the day or the rest of the week, or it's just like more stuff keeps happening and you just kind of go like literally that dog cartoon of him sitting in a chair just laughing and like, this is fine, and everything around him is on fire. I fully identify.
Very much. Yeah.
But yeah.
It's why I don't fuck with people. Like if someone bumps into me, if I'm in the subway station and someone bumps into me, I'm not going to be like, hey, watch it, pal. Because they will, I don't know what's going on, they will snap. And they'll go like, you think you're better than me? You think I want her to be like this, bumping into people? I'll kill you. I don't fuck with anyone because I understand that will be me one day.
Yeah, 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 exactly. Like, you just get to a point where, like, obviously, I'm not gonna hurt anybody, but you can see where these people come from, especially like listen, I'm not gonna go on defense for the Karens who are freaking out in little stores when things happen to them.
Yeah.
I understand, like, their tolerance of bad things happening to them is very low. Please, no one come for me. I'm not in defense of Karens. But sometimes something will happen. Yeah, sometimes I get it. Someone will tell you, like, you think all day. And, like, I feel bad doing it to some people, like, at work. They spend all day thinking about this, like, one drink or one pastry or whatever we have. And, like everybody else in the world, we're having, like, supply issues. So if... if someone is thinking all day about this one fucking cookie... And then they come in and they're like, I would just like this one cookie, please.
That's
all I want in this world. I'm having the shittiest week. This is the one thing I want. And this fucking 19-year-old hungover barista is like, sorry, we're sold out.
Just relax. We're sold out.
Things sell out. But like in your mind all day, it was like the cure for cancer, you know?
Yeah. It's like one of my favorite videos ever. Ever. Is Irish man can't find his soup. It is so good because it's this Irish man.
Have you talked about this to me before?
I most likely have because that's my favorite video ever. It's like this 50, 60-year-old Irish man who's just throwing such a fucking fit in his home because he bought some soup and then he can't find it in his house. And then he has such a conniption fit and is just screaming and is just like, I can't find me soup. And he's just losing money. He's slamming doors, screaming. And he's just like, I can't, and he's freaking out. And then at one point, He goes, "Oh, I can't have a sodding ting in me life."
Oh my and God, I'm just buddy.
Like, oh, and I get him like, "It's not about the soup." I so
it's
get
not
you.
About the soup.
It's because clearly the his whole life it's been like 55 years of disappointment and frustration, mm-hmm. and then this week especially has been very heinous to him, and yeah. the only comfort he has in this world is a cup of Lipton's chicken noodle soup.
Yeah,
and I can't have a sodding ting in my life.
Oh no!
It's
I'm gonna watch that video.
Oh, so he gets so mad. I can't have a sodding ting in my life.
Oh no! Yeah, that's how I feel. There's also the TikTok sound. I think it's from the movie Holes, where it's a little kid going, "I'm tired of this, Grandpa," and then the grandpa's like, "That's too damn bad," like that. Yeah. Okay, every day that plays in my mind. Every day.
Yeah, I think every time I take a shower and I put in my hair conditioner, yeah. I hear from an episode of The Simpsons, for some reason, the Bart and Lisa are taking like a hose shower outside. And then yeah. Homer sprays Bart with the hose. And then Bart goes, "Hey, come on, man. That was leave-in conditioner." And I'm not shitting you. I'm 27. For the past 20 years, I think about that line every time I put conditioner in my hands. Come on, man. Let's leave in conditioner. Squeak, squeak, squeak. Every time.
If it's reminding you to condition your hair, then good. Whatever tricks you need. Oh, other than like the sweet joy in your life. So are you going with Seymour? Is that what it is?
Yeah, I think I'm going to name his name is Seymour, but you can call him Mr. Kitty. But his name is it's one of that. It's like yeah. It's his name is Seymour, but out of respect you call him Mr. Kitty.
Yeah, I mean like pets' names, you never really call them by the name that they are. You call them every other word in the book.
And cats don't give a fuck.
Cats don't give a fuck. They could love their name and they don't give a fuck about you or you.
he's just so goddamn handsome.
How old is he?
He's almost 11. I got an old guy.
You got an old guy? Oh, yeah, good for him. Old good for guy. You.
Yeah, I love him so much.
He loves you.
He better.
Oh my God. So you know how you sent me that video like the first weekend you got him?
Yeah.
Can I talk about that video?
Which video?
The one of him, like, not, you're not giving him attention because you're clearly busy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So you sent me a video, like, the first weekend or something that you got him. And I was in Vancouver and I was with, around my, I think we were at a Mexican restaurant. And we had just finished our meal and we're, like, trying to get up and go. And you sent me the video and I watched it to myself and I was like, I have to show them. So then to our mutual friend, hi, Connor. And then to my boyfriend, they're like putting on their coats and I go, look, watch this. And it's just, it's just a point of view of your legs and your underwear because you're on the toilet.
Pooping.
And your cat is like near your underwear and he's just looking up at you and pawing at your leg because you're not actively petting him. Yeah, and that was super sweet. And I understood the video.
Okay.
And I flipped it and I showed it to them and they were like, why am I looking at this? They're like, what am I supposed to get from this? I was like, do you not see the whole story here, guys? Come on. What the fuck? But I was like, look at his cat. He loves him already. It's their first weekend together and he loves him. And they're like, oh, okay.
Oh, I'm mad now they don't get it. I'm furious.
No, I think that they did. I didn't give a lot of context. Don't you cover up for them. I didn't give a lot of context. I said, look.
I did it to very carefully watch that video because it was just like just scanning for cock, just like don't send Kat a video of your penis. Don't send Kat a video of your penis, Jason. So I had to make sure that I didn't.
Can you imagine if I did it? You accidentally did, and I didn't notice because I was like, "Aw, look at the cat." Then I didn't notice, and then I flipped it on to other people, and I'm like, "Look!" And they just see like penis and underwear and a cat.
Although like I think Connor's the only one that hasn't seen my penis.
Yeah, he wasn't at that show. Of everybody in that scenario, all of us have seen your penis. Artistically though, Jason, don't forget.
Artistically. It is something artistically. I forget about that a lot.
I also forget about that and then sometimes the thought randomly enters my head and I go, "Oh, well, yeah."
Yeah. Yeah. I remember I yeah. Anyway, penis aside, we are back here with another episode of You Should Check Out, the podcast you should check out.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we both have our topics today. I went first last time with Darman, and then you went second with BBLs. So now, Kat, you will start us off this podcast.
Okay, Jason.
Okay, Kathy.
Are you ready to talk about the history of tentacle porn?
Of course I am. Yes. Yes, Kat. Thank you. You've been picking up my slack so much lately. Oh my God. God bless you. This is what this podcast is about, and I haven't been bringing it.
No, because I've been providing all of this for some reason.
You have been. Please tell me about tentacle porn.
So I thought of this topic because I was scrolling TikTok like a month ago, and then I came across this video by this user called Esme.Louise with two E's at the end. And in it, she has, she's like, want to know the history of tentacle porn? And yes, you color me intrigued. So the photo that she has on like her background is this painting done by this artist, Hokusai, Hokusai. It's a photo of, let me send you this. So she's specifically talking about this painting and how it was like the first kind of version of tentacle porn, tentacle erotica.
I have seen this picture, though.
Yeah. Where have you seen it?
Every time I jerk off. No, I don't. I think I might have. It's so much more vulgar than I remembered, though.
Yeah.
I would hate to. I can't say that.
What? What were you going to say?
I was going to say, I would hate to be a. I would not like to be a Japanese woman. It's not what I mean, but it is what I mean. I would not want to be a Japanese woman in porn. Or I would... Okay. I would not want to be this specific Japanese woman getting fucked by two squid.
Yeah.
Give me that.
Yeah, I got it. I understood. So, yeah. So she was talking specifically about this painting, which is titled The Dream of the Fisherman's Wife.
Yeah, that is the name, yeah.
Yep. And it's a positive kind of retelling of this legend where this sea diver, Tamatori, steals the Dragon King's jewel. And she runs away, hides the jewel in her chest. And then the Dragon King and his sea minions chase her. So this retelling by Hokusai is like, yes, this happened, but what if they were like, Tamatori, give us the jewel and let us suck you off.
Yeah, it's even like it's like it's tweaking her nipple too.
It is. So a note about this is very funny. It's like they said most Western audiences would take a look at this piece of art and say that it's non-consensual, but based off of the dialogue that's written all in the back, it's mutually consensual and mutually pleasurable.
I've never that octopus is more attentive than I am in bed.
It's multitasking.
It is so she's gonna call him back. He's working.
This is going well. Yeah. Yeah. He's putting in the work, you know?
And he seems excited.
If you got eight limbs, you can't just use two. What the fuck?
It's even supporting her back. she's completely what's the word?
Enraptured
and just held and
yeah,
cared squid for. It off.
Okay. Yeah. So I'll link that girl's TikTok because it's informative. She says a lot of things in it. But then I Googled the history of tentacle erotica, and these are the things that it said. So it's tentacle erotica. Apparently it's more, I think the Japanese phrasing for it is called shokushu gukan, which is tentacle violation. And it's it's more referred to as tentacle rape instead of just tentacle erotica or tentacle porn. But it is a type of pornography commonly found in Japan, which integrates traditional porn elements with bestiality, fantasy, horror, and science fiction themes. Tentacle erotica can be consensual, but frequently is not.
Say what you want about the Japanese, but they provide the entertainment. They
No matter
what you don't like about what they make, you can't say it's not entertaining.
Yeah. Okay, so this actual painting was done by Hakusai in 1814, and it's from his book called Kinoe no Komatsu. So it's like a work of, like, it's an erotic work of all of these different paintings. And let me send you the link for this too, because it's really interesting, like, the style. It's obviously very Japanese, but it's very interesting to look at because, like, it's not like you're looking at it, you're like, I know what that is. Sometimes the people in the photos are very, like, twisty, and you're like, which one's the guy, which one's the girl, how do their bodies work? Like, it's very interesting to look at. And then he draws big old penises on the dudes.
Oh, okay. I'll still take it. I was hoping for big boobas, but...
No, not as much, unfortunately, because we know you like them bitties.
This is a facet of porn that has always escaped me, though, because I remember seeing it very young and just never being into it.
Like tentacle porn?
Tentacle porn. It never tickled, like
I never tickled your fancy.
Like, I can appreciate a fine mwah, hentai, but tentacle porn's never done for me. I think one of the first tentacle porns I ever saw was one of the biggest hentai. Like, do you know the Animal Crossing hentai cat meme?
No,
you don't know that? Oh, it's really popular one. But there's this one hentai animated porn creator named Zontan.
Okay.
And they've been popular for a long time. I remember watching, it was like, I think it was Starfire from Teen Titans getting fucked by a bunch of tentacles.
Oh, wow. I was
like 13 or 12, and I'm just like, I don't know about this one.
Yeah.
It's like my penis looked at me, and I looked at my penis, and I went, I don't think we're into this. And my penis is like, yeah, I think we're good.
Yeah.
Can I go on a quick embarrassing side tangent?
Yes.
About Starfire and cartoon porn and child me.
Oh, so boy.
I'm excited to share this super, super embarrassing thing.
Okay.
So I was probably like 9 or 10. I'm going to guess 10 years old.
Okay.
And I wanted to start watching internet porn. And so there's all I know is what I – there's all I like in this world is Teen Titans. And I want to watch porn. So I type in Google, Teen Titans porn. And then I click whatever I see, and it's the image of just a bunch of crudely drawn. Hentai has gone so much better now. The kids today don't know what they fucking, what we had to deal with back in the day.
They really don't.
They're so good now. But, and so
the stories are so good now.
The plot's amazing.
The plot's amazing.
And so one of the images, I was looking through this image gallery of badly drawn Teen Titans porn to pretty good Teen Titans porn.
Yeah.
And there's this thing. So Starfire is an alien. Canonically, she looks like a human being, but she's an alien.
Yeah.
Other than her orange skin, you wouldn't be able to tell. So because she's an alien, the person drawing the specific hentai gave her an alien vagina.
What does that mean?
It was like a normal vagina, but it had this gigantic green tentacle tongue that flopped out of her vagina. And I shit you not, Kat, until I was like 15 years old, I thought girls had a collapsible tentacle thing that came out of their vagina. I'm not... And 15, maybe older. It wasn't until I thought about it. Because I had this thought, I was like... Because, like, I've seen vaginas since then.
Yeah.
Not in person. Never in person. But I was like, so where... like, I'm looking at him, like, but I don't understand. Where's that big, where's the tentacle? Where's the tongue?
Oh, she retracted her tongue.
She retracted it. I kept thinking that. And it wasn't until I was, like, 15, 16, I was like, oh, that was just a cartoon. They don't really have that.
That's an amazing story, Betty.
It took an embarrassing long time for me to realize that girls don't have that.
But, like, okay, you're 10 years old. And you like, she doesn't look like an alien. She looks like a regular girl who's, like, tan and has green eyes.
Yes.
Why would you not think that girls didn't have, like, a weird tongue tentacle thing? Because, like, maybe, like, we didn't learn a lot in Fully Alive. They didn't include everything in our sex education growing up. So maybe that was just missed. Or you were staring at the window during that chapter of Fully Alive, you know?
There's a good chance it was that. Yeah. Yeah, I still think about that. I was just like, oh, because when I did realize, I felt so, like, no one else knew. It was just a private thought, but I felt embarrassed. I never felt so embarrassed by such a private thing.
Aww.
I never talked about it to anyone.
At least you weren't spreading, like, misinformation, because, like, sometimes kids are like, no, girls' boobs, like, they can take them off at the end of the night. And they'll, like, be adamant about telling every other guy friend that they know.
Would you not, though?
What?
If you could take them off at the end of the
night? Oh, 1,000%. I would take them off. I would take them off and then lie on my stomach and sleep, like, normally, you know? Yeah. Or, like, I would take them off before exercising.
You're so perfect.
I would take them off and then walk downstairs or run upstairs. Or, like, anytime I have to run to catch, like, a subway or something,
like,
I'm going to take them off.
It's just pretty much just tell me the times you put them on, basically. Like, when did you put them on? Other than that.
Yeah, pretty much. When would I put them on? I don't know. Sometimes I just... I just grab them to make sure that they're there.
And they are. They're there.
And they are, and I found them.
You again. Okay, back to what you were saying.
Something about
tentacle porn, was it?
Yeah, I think something along those lines. Thank you for sharing. I really appreciate being vulnerable in this space, Jason. Thank you. Okay, so the dream of the fisherman's wife. It is an example of shunga, which is Japanese erotic woodblock art, and has been reworked by multiple artists. So yeah, like I said, Western audiences would have interpreted it as non-consensual, but Japanese Edo, in the Japanese Edo period, those people would have known that it was consensual. We'd be like, oh, what a nice time she's having. And I spoke about how it was based on the legend of the diver Tamatori. And then contemporary censorship in Japan dates to the Meiji period. And the influence of European Victorian culture was the catalyst for legislative interest in more censorship. And then post-World War II, allies imposed... reforms on Japanese government, including anti-censorship. So obscenity is still, like, prohibited. So things like genitalia and pubic hair are still, like, illegal to be seen, right?
To this day, the porn, the Japanese porn I watch for work, it's still completely pixelated. It's so it's wild to me.
Yeah, so that's still illegal. And then, because those things are still illegal, it leads to, like, the need to diversify what is permissible. So there's this creator, his name is Toshio Maeda, and he does manga, and there's this erotic manga, I think, called Urotsuki Doji, and he has a quote. He's like, pre the work that he did, it was illegal to create a sensual scene in bed. I thought I should do something to avoid drawing such a normal sensual scene. So I just created a creature. His tentacle is not a penis, as a pretext. I could say as an excuse, this is not a penis. This is just a part of the creature. No. You know the creatures. They don't have a gender. A creature is a creature. So it was not obscene and not illegal.
Yeah.
I like the, like, the loophole. And be like, no, 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 no. This is not obscene. This is, like, nature.
This is... You show me, I'm sliding over this table, a pen and a paper. You draw me what an octopus penis looks like.
Yeah, you tell me what you think an octopus penis is like, and you censor that, buddy.
No.
I'm going to give you some examples. This is all taken from like Wikipedia, by the way, so it might not be the most accurate resource. But when I looked up tentacle, history of tentacle erotica, there were lots of links. I was going to say, I remember the first time I saw an example of like hentai and specifically tentacle erotica. I was around that age of like 10, 12, 13, maybe two. It was quite the shock to me.
Yeah, it's quite shocking.
It's quite shocking. if you're not prepared for it. If you weren't looking for it and then you just clicked a thing because you're like, what is this whole new world I'm getting into? And then you just click a thing and it just that starts happening.
Would you watch it with friends when you were younger? When you're like, would it be like a sleepover thing with you and your friends? You go like, what does hentai look like? Then you look, watch it together. Or was it just, or were you like looking, you're going rogue, solo adventurer?
I was going rogue with solo adventurer. So like, okay. There were two things that would happen. So when I was younger, my mom used to work a lot, like all day. So after school, I would be home a lot. And like some of the guys in my class knew that. So they would come and take advantage of the fact that like I had an unsupervised computer. So they would come to my house.
Just beat up all the time.
they would all crowd around my computer. And like my poor mom, man, like this shit I'm realizing now. In hindsight, that like, because like that desktop then started developing viruses. She's like, why is the computer so slow? And I was like, oh, I don't know. We should get a new one. And she's like, oh, okay.
Oh, but I had a similar thing. I don't think my mom listens to this, so it's fine. I remember every time I would use my mom's lap, because my mom, they didn't have a desktop. They just used like a shared laptop or whatever.
Yeah.
Every time I would use it to watch porn, I would, of course, delete the browsing history.
Yeah.
And then I remember one time I was sitting on the couch and my mom was on the table on a laptop and she was like, ah, oh my goodness. And I was like, what's wrong, mom? It's like, there's something so wrong with this laptop. Every time I open it, it just forgets all my websites. And I was like, oh, wow, that's crazy. Yeah, it's probably broken.
Oh, no, mom, that's so crazy. You should just get a whole new one.
Get, and then I can have that one.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was something about, like, 13-year-old boys where they love to watch porn together. And they would come over, they would go on the websites and then click stuff, and they would all be, like, laughing and be like, ha ha, and I'm like, guys, please stop. They would just... they would... coerce me into thinking that they're coming over out of friendship and they'd be like, hey, can I look something up quickly? I'm like, sure. And then they would destroy my computer. And then like I had heard of hentai. And I'm like, what does this mean? And then I looked into it and I was like, whoa, this is crazy.
This is nutters,
dude. Yeah. So I just looked up again. I just Googled history of tentacle porn. And there's actually an article for Glamour that came out in 2017 about everything you've ever wanted to know about tentacle porn.
What do the normies have to say about it?
On Glamour. I know. Apparently. Okay, so this specific art print was included in Mad Men. Penny Olsen is like... Peggy Olsen is holding it.
I wonder if that's...
She's like, oh, she looks badass. She's like smoking a cigarette and is wearing sunglasses inside. And I think she just got fired. But she's like walking out with this tentacle porn thing. That's crazy.
Mad Men tentacle porn. Yeah, because I know I've definitely seen it before. It's so good. It's such a good painting.
It is actually like such a good work of art. And, like, I think I send you the link for all of the other things? Yeah. If you click through those things, they're very, like, interesting to look at. I found a book by Alan Moore, you know, the guy who wrote The Watchmen?
Yeah.
I was in a thrift store in September, and I found this, like, kind of, like, history of erotica, or just, like, a compilation of erotic works. And I'm like, oh, these are all cool works. And it was, I don't know, I haven't really, like, really actually read it. It was just kind of going to be like a coffee table book and people would be like, oh, what's this nice book? And then they pick it up and it's like boobies. because that's it's always a nice surprise.
And it was by Alan Moore?
Yeah. Oh, I wonder if it's in there. Oh, wait. Hold on. Let me see if I can get it Uber Eats to me. Did you find the Peggy Olson thing?
Yeah, I did.
Like, I never watched that far into Mad Men, but, like, what's the story there, you know?
I only watched the first season.
I think that's what I watched, too.
It's a show I'm going to get caught up on.
Okay, so it's this book. It's called 25,000 Years of Erotic Freedom by Alan Moore. It is. It is written by Alan Moore.
That sounds so cool.
Yeah, it's actually really cool. So it's like...
Let's go.
Spanking. Ta-da.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah, she's just grabbing his full-ass penis.
Yeah.
Just grabbing a handful.
I was wondering if it was going to be in here. If I could see the tentacle porn. Does Alan Moore think about tentacle... Oh, my God. Yes! It is in here!
Yeah!
That's so funny. I bought this book like a month ago at a thrift store because I opened it. And I was like, haha, nice boobs. But this, okay, so the link that I sent you is like some of the other works in that entire thing by Hokusai. And I'm pretty sure this is by him as well. That's so funny, man. So Katsushika Hokusai, above an overleaf erotic wood block print, so 1800. And then these are some of the things.
Look at that bush on her.
I know. See how big?
Oh, that's a dick.
That's a dick.
That's a huge dick. That's kind of like macro, because the macro genitalia is still a thing in hentai to this day.
Oh, yeah. But like, do you see how his like, you can't tell who's who? And like, see how his body doesn't make sense in like its angle?
Oh yeah, I kind of assumed. I assumed that it was like a threesome, but I guess it's supposed to be him.
Yeah, this one is him, but like, how does that make sense? the way his head is.
I thought that was ancient Japanese cuck porn.
It's crazy. That's so funny that this is in here, and I actually found it. Wow, wow! Everything is meant to be, Jason. Did you know that?
Everything's meant to be. I'm excited. I'm excited to post this on the Instagram because, like, I think the Darman thing. Like, part of me wants to just keep doing the Darman censor, like the Darman face over everything sexual. Mm-hmm. But I might do an episode specific censor.
You should put Alan Moore's face on top of.
I probably should.
On top of that one, or whatever your topic's going to be. I was going to go into like examples of examples of like tentacle porn in culture. But I think you can look up the Wikipedia. We've already talked a little bit about it. I recommend looking at that girl's TikTok video to learn some history. I recommend looking up. I'm going to post like the link to some of the art pieces because, like, guys, don't be prudes. Just look into it. It's fine.
Yeah.
This is like history and art. Who cares? And I recommend the Alan Moore book called 25,000 Years of Erotic Freedom. Because it seems very cool.
Yeah, like, it's not my thing.
Yeah.
It's not my thing. I'm still
trying. Yeah, I'm not saying specifically, like, look, it's just...
Like, don't jerk... We're not telling you to jerk off to it. We're telling you to...
No, I'm telling you to learn something. Use your upstairs...
I'm telling you to learn something. What an asshole.
Like, use your upstairs head. Yeah. Your upstairs brain. Not your downstairs. But, you know, it's always... Because, like, so many people will hear about fetishes and like, especially us, we've talked about multiple fetishes and been like, where does that come from? You know?
This is where it comes from. It comes from this beautiful painting.
It comes from this beautiful painting and, like, you know. I was going to say, like, humans are interesting. And, like, another thing about it is that, like, the Japanese have had to become very crafty in the way that they do their porn because of these... censorship laws.
The crafty, like, crafty Japanese.
Men will... Remember how we keep saying men will always find a way to, like, hit on a lady?
Always.
People will always find a way to jerk off to anything, yeah. About anything.
Yes.
That's whether the biggest it's, takeaway from this podcast.
Yeah. Whether it's, like, 50-year-old women reading Twilight or...
Yeah.
Or 18-year-old boys drawing hentai. It's gonna happen.
Yep, it's gonna happen. I found that, there was a sketch recently because a lady was trying to get a Toni Morrison book banned. There was a joke about how he was reading the Toni Morrison book, I think, about her body or something. And he was like, it made him uncomfortable, her like teen son. And he told her, and she was like, I got so mad, I put down my copy of 50 Shades of Grey. But yeah, I think that's it for my topic. There's nothing else really more to talk about.
Yeah, just tentacle porn.
Just tentacle porn.
That's just it. Educate yourself.
Nice. Just do some research. Do the work, people.
Good job, buddy. Alrighty. Good Thanks. Job, buddy. Let's do tentacle porn. Let's go.
Let's go. Okay, Jason.
Okay. So this is something I wanted to do for quite a while now, but I never really knew how to go about it. Okay. Until I found a specific documentary about it. Because I'm really excited to know about to hear about what you know about this. Okay. I am doing for my topic Rumspringa.
Oh, I'm okay. So glad you're doing Rumspringa. I was thinking about that too.
Yeah, so I'm doing Rumspringa, and so because I realized I had a total misconception about what Rumspringa was, but I was not disappointed that it is still wild. So before I'm going to give the definition that I'm going to provide, but Kat, can you tell me what do you know about Rumspringa?
Okay. So the little I know about Rumspringa is the, what's the word for them? Not Mormons. Amish. Amish. The Amish. So like, obviously they live in a secluded society. So Rumspringa is that time for teenagers, like late teens, early 20s kids, to kind of go out into the world and just see what the world is about and see if it's something that they want to participate in. And then the idea is that they go out there, they come back, and they're like, oh, not for me, no thank you. And then they live their quiet, peaceful lives.
All right, very good. I kind of wish Yay. I kind of wish I didn't ask.
Why? Because it was too
Because that was rough? Pretty good. That was pretty good. Okay, good. because overall that is kind of what I thought it was. But I thought it was a little bit more pilgrim-y. Like more of a pilgrimage. Like I thought it was more of like, because it's not like a literal that you leave to go on a pilgrimage to go see. Uh-huh. It's not really that. So essentially, Rumspringa, which in the Pennsylvania Dutch, the language of the Amish, it means running around.
Yeah.
And it's a period of adolescence in which boys and girls are given greater personal freedom and are allowed to form relationships, usually ending in the choice of baptism or leaving the church. Because, from doing my research, the whole point of Rumspringa is letting the youth Amish, experience and enjoy their youth. And from talking about this, there's a lot of kind of admirable things what the Amish do with Rumspringa, but then also it's, overall, it's not a very desirable thing to be a part of, but they have a very respectable understanding of what it is to be a youth, as opposed to a lot of incredibly religious groups will be like, no, sexuality, rebelling is not normal, never ever do it. The Amish is just like, oh no, do it. Like, this is what you do. So that's the way it works.
Which is, like, great, by the way. I think that's very underappreciated.
Yeah.
The fact that they allow you the rebellion, because they know it's natural. And, like, any of the religions that kind of squash down any kind of rebellious feelings or whatever just make it worse in the end.
Yeah, it's essentially, like, a lot of ex-Amish people consider the Amish to be a cult. However,
there
is a lot there. However, of all the cults in the world, Amish is, you could do a lot worse than the Amish.
Yeah.
But, because what I think the first time I heard about Rumspringa, I was watching that, I think it was like the 2010 teen boner comedy road trip Sex Drive.
Mm-hmm.
And Seth Green played an Amish guy who's on Rumspringa. Oh,
Seth Green.
And so for what I thought Rumspringa was, it's like when you turn 16, when you're a teenager, you go out into the world, you travel somewhere crazy, and you just go wild.
Yeah.
Turns out half of that's true. You go wild, but you kind of just stay where you are. But what I did know, you can move, but for the most part, when you're youth on for Rumspringa, you stay home. But what it is, it's just you're unshackled from the restraints of the church.
Oh, okay.
And from what I learned, like the whole purpose of Rumspringa, which is why it can last from 2 to 10 years. Because what Rumspringa is that you are, when you turn 16 years old, mm-hmm. you are an adult. Because, mm-hmm. actually, before I go further, one thing I didn't know about the Amish is I didn't know their history. And because growing up, I just thought the whole Amish thing, I wrongfully assumed that it was pilgrims or settlers in North America that didn't like how fast things were going and decided to stop advancing with technology and stayed where they are. I was wrong. The Amish church was founded in Europe in 1693 by a small group of Christians who held a very specific and controversial belief. And that belief is that children and babies cannot be baptized.
Oh.
Their whole basis of their church is that to be a follower of Christ is you need to be an adult.
Oh.
And that, children or babies are not followers of Christ because they don't have the adult consent or whatever to follow the path of Christ.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
their brains are not even formed. How can they make an informed decision?
Yeah, because that's such like a cheap way to get into heaven. It's like your parents just baptize you as a baby. It's like, no, you need to decide as an adult to be a follower of Christ.
Yeah.
And so that was – and so in Europe at that time, they were hated. Like there was a prominent member. He was burned to the stake for his beliefs. So they're harshly persecuted until they all fled to America in 1860. And so that's when it happened. So the connection to that and Rumspringa is when you turn 16, you are now viewed as an adult.
Yeah.
So that means your time to accept baptism and to accept being a part of the church is approaching.
Yeah.
So the point of Rumspringa is this. You go and you are now allowed to be romantic with other people. So your Rumspringa is supposed to be you pursue romantic interests, you find a partner, you two get married and then are baptized and accepted into the church. That's the point of Rumspringa.
Got it.
But then you can choose not to. But I was going to save this figure for later, but I think I'll just say it now. At the time, I guess about 2003 was when this was recorded. I think it still is now. 90% of Amish youth that do Rumspringa, 90% return to the church.
Mm-hmm.
Only 10% leave the church.
Yeah.
So for the research for this topic, I had a really good time. It's such an interesting thing because it's such a, I made me want to be Amish a little bit because I'm a man.
I think, yeah. Yeah. You know what? Yes. I was going to say, I think a lot of us right now are kind of like, it would be just nice if I get to be left alone in the woods and just live off of my own land and take care of myself and not have to go to things, you know?
And it just kind of settles. It's just you have like, it has everything set out for you. So the point of Rumspringa is find a partner or leave the church. To find a partner to join the church with or leave the church forever. And then I kind of found, so when you turn 16, you don't have to dress. Like, you have complete freedom. Like, God is number one, obviously, for the Amish people. But parents are, like, just below next to God. So you have to do what your parents say. But then at 16, you're an adult.
Yeah.
And so you have such wild freedoms. Like, they truly, and during, and there's like a kind of a sacred respect with Rumspringa that I'll get into later, because the kids get away with fucking everything because they're not kids. Because they're just like, oh, my adult son is going fucking ham upstairs. I wish I could do something about it, but he's an adult.
Yeah.
But I found, because they refer to, the Amish people, they refer to us, essentially, people outside, they refer to them as English.
Ah.
Like, anyone who's outside of, in North America, anyone who's outside of an Amish community, they refer to as English. So, during Rumspringa, you can now dress however you like, if you're a guy. For the most part, women can dress English.
Yeah.
Sometimes, but it depends.
But, like, modestly.
Modestly, but even then, if you can, you can go to a party, you can do whatever you want, kind of thing. But for the most part, because I got this information, his name is Amish. He's a YouTuber. He's, I think, it's Amish Potato is his name. He is. Let me just quickly make sure that's correct.
Amish Potato.
Amish Potato. Yeah, the Amish Potato. So I watched two things in preparation for this. I watched a YouTube video by the Amish Potato about his time doing Rumspringa. He is someone who did Rumspringa for 10 years and decided not to go to the church, not to return back to the church.
Wow.
And then I watched an amazing 2003 documentary called The Devil's Playground.
Is that how I know about this? Because I have... I don't know why I know so much about Rumspringa. I think I had watched something, but I don't know what. Let me look that up. So keep going.
It could be. So like as I talk about Rumspringa, the thing I will be saying that you should check out is the documentary. I think her name is Lucy Baker.
Yeah.
It's a documentary by Lucy Baker. It's called The Devil's Playground. And it's a wonderful, wonderful documentary. And it's at... talks, it follows, oh, is it Lucy Walker? Lucy Walker.
Okay.
But anyway, so back to the Amish Potato. He kind of talks about, during Rumspringa, there are like three classes of youth that do Rumspringa.
Wait, sorry, can you, documentary? Oh, Devil's Playground. Got it. Because there's The Devil's Playground, which is a 1976 film. And then there's Devil's Playground, which is a 2002, got it.
Okay, so Devil's Playground.
Yeah. Okay. I was like, the names that you're saying are not matching up, and this is about a Catholic boarding school. What the hell?
So, what the Amish Potato talks about during Rumspringa, the youths kind of separate into three different, like, kind of cultures or groups. There are the Clinton youths, the Tepeki youths, and the car/wild what's up groups.
Okay.
And the way it works, I think I'm spacing on what the Clinton youths are, but they're kind of the middle ground. But the Tepeki youths, they're the conservative Amish people. They're doing Rumspringa. They don't want to party. They don't really want to do anything ungodly, sinful. They just want to find their partner so they can return to the church. That they're conservative.
Got it.
From what I gather, the Clinton youths are the in-between. One thing that I do like about the Clinton youths is like they will dress English sometimes on the weekends. And the women... what they'll do, the women will dress Amish, but they will they'll keep up to date with the shoes. The shoes, they'll dress English. So, like, in the
90s... Oh, yes, I've seen this.
So, they're getting, like, Doc Martens, Steve Maddens, like, the really fancy shoes, but in the full Amish gear. And then you got the bad boy, cool kids.
They're That's known a look, as the, though. Full Amish wear and boots, like... tell me you can't find a girl in Toronto who's wearing almost exactly that.
That is so unfortunately true.
Okay, sorry, go on.
But then you have the car youths, also known as the wild youths or the what's up youths. But they're specifically known as the car youths because they're one of the biggest draws, what happens when you do Rumspringa, is that the Amish, they're allowed to get cars.
Wow.
The boys. The girls are not allowed. The girls don't drive. The girls are not allowed to drive.
As they shouldn't.
That's what this podcast is about, shedding that information. But then there's the what's up youths. And essentially the way Rumspringa works, for the most part, the most general this is how it is that in rural America, boys, they go on Rumspringa, they get their license, and they just drive around searching for women in parties. And there's something really cool. I don't know what it's like anymore, because it's in like the late 90s, early 2000s. There's some really cool stuff about how the Amish kids have their parties. They would do this thing called Ohaka.
Okay.
Uhaka.
Okay.
And what it is that the girls, every night when they go to bed, because they're adults at 9 o'clock, because during Rumspringa, the adults, even over the girls, the adults have nothing to say. The girls are women. Yeah. They're adults.
Yeah.
Their parents can't tell them what to do. So what happens is they would, they go to like one of the rooms in the house. They turn off all the lights, but one room, the girls would turn on a light, like a lamp or a big.
Oh.
And what that is, mm-hmm. they would literally create a beacon.
Yeah.
So what happens is they leave that beacon up, and then eventually a group of Amish boys driving around the countryside will find the beacon, and then they literally park, walk inside of the house, and go upstairs. I think Uhaka, I think it means upstairs, it means staying up.
Okay.
So it's just this girl's put up a beacon saying, boys come here, and then boys come there, and then they stay.
Party.
They just party in that room, and the adults can't do anything because it's also, you're gonna love this. It's also known as Speistumpa, which is translates to stair stomping, because the parents, they'd hate it because like they go to bed, then all of a sudden, of course, their horny ass daughter lit the beacon of Gondor. So that all the Amish boys within a 10-mile radius are just partying upstairs.
Yeah. And their Pontiacs driving up to their fucking wooden house.
Because all partying. And the point with Rumspringa Amish parties is they all get fucking wasted.
Yeah.
Because they're allowed to drink and do whatever they want. And this is something that'll come up later.
Yeah.
This guy, the Amish potato, he said, for the most part, everyone just got fucking wasted off beer. Drug use wasn't really a big thing. It was just all beer.
Yeah.
But remember that.
Okay.
So they do, the Amish girls will practice Ohaka, and they light the beacons to bring boys over. I learned from watching one of the documentaries later that Amish girls are actually pretty hot, and I don't know how to deal about that.
Oh no. Your search history.
Yeah. But these Amish parties...
Amish girl in Doc Martens and big boobs.
Beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, boop. Here you go. But Kat, these Amish parties turn into... They'd essentially be music festivals. Because there's a lot more Amish than you think. And especially in these rural areas. So these parties would be 500 to 1,000 people. Because it's in the countryside. They turn to big barns. They have barn festivals, bands, gigantic fields. And in the documentary that I'll talk about in a second, Devil's Playground, they show you what these parties are like. It's crazy. And they're also no fights. Because it's just, because they're kind of known as the what's up kids. Because what happens is, no matter who, for the Amish kids, walk up to any stranger and just go like, what's up? And they'll go like, oh, I'm from Ohio, and my dad's a carpenter. And then they talk. They go up to anyone, just say what's up, and then they're friends.
Wow.
So they have these gigantic fucking earth-shattering parties. Everyone crushed beers hard. Not a lot of sex, but I'll get into the sex a little bit. Because for the most part, what's kind of cool... with the Amish, with Rumspringa, is they're not, they don't condone sex. They don't want you to have sex. They definitely don't want you to get pregnant.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So in a way, what they kind of go about is they just say like, go crazy, hook up, don't have sex.
Mm.
So it's just hand job city. It's just an ocean of hand jobs. And that's okay.
Wow, Jason, that was a little poetic.
Yeah. It's
an ocean of hand jobs.
It's just hand jobs for the Lord. A big problem with this is when these parties come out, because when there's 1,000 drunk 16-year-olds, drunk driving is a huge problem.
Yeah.
So these parties, they're almost always ended with police raids because, because they have to stop 100 drunk children from driving.
Yeah, of course.
And so that was, but the funny with Rumspringa is when you learn about them, it's just, they're just having a very, the most normal, a lot of them, especially the boys, because the boys dress English entirely. The women, they dress English occasionally, but for the most part, the girls always dress Amish, but just, but here's a, here's what's awesome, though. The girls, they always dress Amish, but they party hard as fuck.
Yeah.
Because it's like there's this one, they show footage of this one Amish girl. She's like rollerblading. And then you look at it and you kind of go like, what a dork. Okay, but she's an Amish girl. But then it cuts her just like, yeah, I dress like this, but I'm fucking shwasted all the time. And I'm like, whoa. Yeah. Like, because they just crush Coors Light all day.
Yeah, they have to get it out somehow. They can't even like dress. They can only wear rollerblades and boots.
Yeah.
So they gotta make it up somehow. Girls party, dude. Did you know that?
I know. And these Amish girls party hard as fuck. And because it really is a cool experience in a little bit of a way, because it's like there's some fucked up stuff, because the way they go, they do single house like education up until grade 8.
Yeah.
Like everyone, like an old schoolhouse kind of thing. Everyone, just a group of kids, study up until they're about 13 years old. But in the Amish belief, education turns into pride, which is sinful. Mm-hmm. So they stop all education after grade 8.
For everybody?
Everyone.
Yeah.
No child gets educated past 13.
Oh, Lord. Yeah.
So let me see. So now going on specifically, so the Amish potato, he talked about his own personal experiences. And he mentioned something. At one of the parties he was at, the documentary Devil's Playground came to record them. And the documentarians, I guess Lucy, they were thrown out. They didn't, the Amish did not want them there because as hedonistic and crazy and rebellious as they seem, the point of Rumspringa, they are still devout Amish. They're just looking for their partners. They haven't found them yet. So they have no intention of leaving the church. They're just enjoying their time off as kids. So if documentary is coming in to fuck with them, they don't want them to do it at all.
Yeah.
So this documentary, The Devil's Playground, I'm going to leave some of it up to mystery because it's a fantastic documentary. And it's one of those documentaries where you're like, you got so fucking lucky, because one of their subjects, his name is Farron, one of the kids that they follow for Rumspringa, they had about 10 months to film. They picked the most wild 10 months for this one kid's life. His name is Farron. They showed up to document the craziest 10 months of his entire life, just because that's when they just happened to show up.
Yeah.
Rumspringa, I kind of doubled back a little bit. So the last few months, up to several years, stops when they're ready to join or leave. One thing I like, the Amish beard. That's what men have to wear in the religion, is when you get married, you don't wear a ring, because a lot of Amish is anti-materialism.
Yeah.
And a wedding ring or wedding band, that's considered material. So a man's beard is the wedding ring, because it's a wedding ring that he can't take off.
Yeah.
So he has to, and it's always the neck. So he has to grow with that beard until he dies.
Oh,
It's like, because that's his eternal.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's your vow to God can be seen through your beard.
His wife's his literal beard.
Literally, yeah. So, so this documentary, they follow pretty much what I said, which I love. The documentary, it shows exactly what I learned from the Amish potato. It's everything he said.
Yeah.
But they follow specific kids. And this one kid, his name is Farron. And what I love, because this was filmed in 2002. Mm-hmm. Every boy in this documentary looks like Fred Durst from Limp Bizkit. Every kid Google Fred Durst. Fred Durst. Or like Google Limp Bizkit.
Oh,
every kid looks like he's from Smash Mouth or Limp Bizkit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So every kid looks like that. So Farron looks like that. He looks like Aaron. He looks like Aaron Carter a little bit.
Yeah.
And
all the boys at that time did, honestly.
Yeah. And so they follow this kid, Farron, and he has this thing where he's really, really, really enjoying Rumspringa, but he says he's probably going to return to the church. Mm-hmm. And
how old is he?
Probably like 17, 18.
Okay.
But he feels really sad about it, because what happens when you're having such a good time is that he's terrified that he has to give up this life that he has. Yeah. His English life. Everyone on Rumspringa smokes giant cigarettes. Everyone mm-hmm. smokes.
Mm-hmm.
The boys dress English. And one thing, like, when they showed the aftermath of the Amish parties, it is just a graveyard of hungover Amish teens. And again, like they're Amish teens. They all look like normal kids. Like they're not wearing like the suspenders or whatever. They look like normal kids. And then so they're following all these other kids, and they're talking about Rumspringa. But then this documentary takes a fucking weird turn.
Okay.
And it'll take 10 more weird turns. Remember I talked about drug use?
Yeah.
How it's not really common.
Yeah.
Either Amish Potato was naive when he said that.
Yeah.
Or it was very rare that he just didn't know about it. Because then it cuts back to Farron. Farron on Rumspringa, the Amish dealer. The Amish kid. He is now dealing crystal meth.
To other Amish kids?
To other Amish kids and then other kids. Everyone. Oh, so now there is now crystal.
Crystal meth?
There's a crystal meth scene in the Amish community, especially for the Rumspringa kids. And it cuts to...
crystal meth scene.
And Farron, his health varies from every day they shoot him. Some days he looks like a healthy 18-year-old kid. Some days he looks like he's on death's door because he's all up and down.
Yeah. Because of the crystal meth, like, he's using as well?
He's using heavily. Because, essentially, he's fully addicted to meth. And he's dealing it. And this is... One second here. And then, so... But here's what kind of bites the documentary in the ass is because, clearly, the documentary was supposed to be, we go explore Rumspringa, and then we interview four kids, and we talk about how their Rumspringa's going. Yeah. So they interviewed like three kids, a couple of kids, Joanne, Velda, or two women, and then this other kid named Gerald, and they had very normal Rumspringa things to talk about. But then it cuts to fucking Scarface, and they're just like, what is this documentary? Because what happens is, because after it's talking, it cuts to like whatever his name, let's say Joanne. Joanne, she's mm-hmm. like, oh, I don't know. I think I'm going to return to the church because I don't know. I like English, but I think I want to grow. I think I want to live with Christ. Then it cuts to black. And then the subtitles say like Farron and his partner were arrested at a crystal meth house. And then they're like, whoa, okay. Then
I think I have seen this.
And then it goes to that because Farron and his English girlfriend, mm-hmm. who he loves a lot, but she doesn't want to... She says she's going to convert to Amish, but that's never... Like, even he doesn't believe it. That's not a thing that happens. So they get arrested buying meth from a dealer, but the dealer, he goes to jail, and they were released.
Mm.
So Farron and his girlfriend break up because his girlfriend's like, what the fuck is that? Everyone's going to think we're a snitch because if we went to a dealer's place and we got arrested, but we didn't go to jail, everyone's going to think we're a snitch. And Farron's like, whatever. And then so all of a sudden that drama goes on. Then it cuts to more Rumspringa documentary. And then it cuts back to drug dealers have threatened Farron's girlfriend's life, so they broke up. So I was like, what the fuck? And then it turns out, Kat. And then it's another one of those things where it follows. The documentarians go talk about elder Amish people. And they talk about what they miss from Rumspringa. And essentially the way it goes between men and women, the men, they have to give up their cars. And that kind of guts them. Ask any Amish man what they miss about their youth, and they say, like, I gave away my car, my transportation. I hated it. And the women, they give up their clothes. Like, like they were able for a while, for a couple of years, they were able to dress however they wanted. But now they've just, they have to make their own Amish clothes.
Yeah.
So anyway, cut to, it turns out Farron's an informant for the cops and was wearing a wire. Because it turns out Farron was a rat for the cops to sell other Amish drug kingpins. You see how that kind of comes out of nowhere?
Wow.
It's like you're just trying to learn about Amish kids and then you're watching a crime drama because Farron was wearing a wire and he was getting Amish drug kingpins arrested.
Yeah, like, so guys who would specifically target Amish kids?
Not like target anyone, like anyone that he was specific, like the couple of people that he got arrested were Amish drug dealers, but like he would just go, he was wearing a wire to arrest other drug dealers so he could get off.
Wow.
And so
he's using crystal meth.
And I think I'm going to stop the Farron storyline there. There's a lot of ups and downs. He's such an interesting person to watch in this documentary. It follows, he goes all over the place in this documentary. But the last thing I'll say, he tries, his first attempt at getting sober. And then he meets a new love because he meets his new love, this girl named Emma. And this is, it's kind of weird to watch in the documentary because I think she's 16 and he's 17. So you're watching like two young teens get very intimate with each other.
Oh, yeah.
It's a little weird. It's, again, it's directed by a woman, so this, it's not very, it doesn't feel, like it's
leery.
Leery, yeah. It's not a guy going like, And
yeah.
It's interesting because you learn, but it's important because you learn about what Amish dating is like.
Yeah.
And remember how I mentioned how, Rumspringer, you're an adult, you have, like, your parents have to respect that you're an adult? Want to know something really cool?
What?
There's this thing, it's called bed courtship. Is that during like a normal date is the man takes the girl out, the Amish girl out, and then he brings her back home.
Yeah.
And if the Amish girl wants, she can invite, because they all live with their parents still at like at home. The Amish girl can invite the boy up to her room and he's allowed to stay the night.
Wow.
Like, literally, like your parents go like, oh, I guess Emma brought, I guess Emma's date went really well. The boy's staying with her tonight.
Wow.
Like, they're not supposed to have sex.
Yeah.
Handjob city.
Yeah.
Basically. But yeah, so it's like a thing. You go on a date, and then if you like the boy, you say, hey, want to sleep in my bed tonight with me?
Wow.
So they sleep together, and then that's, so that's how, like, Amish Rumspringer dating is like.
Wow.
Just, I don't want to get too long in the tooth here. But so I'll leave that there.
Okay.
I truly can't recommend Devil's Playground enough. It's a fascinating documentary. Watch it so you can finish the saga of Farron.
Yeah.
Because how crazy, because you think, because I think like it was such a weird gold mine that they didn't even know what to do with it. It's like, what do you mean you're a fucking informant for the cops? What are you talking? Okay, I guess we'll film you. This is because, like, you feel bad.
Oh, God.
And his life, he gets in a car accident at one point, and the cops, the documentary's like, what the? Stop! Just slow down.
Chill out!
How are we supposed to? You're doing too much for us to record, Farron.
We don't have enough cassette tapes.
Yeah. But it's a wonderful documentary, and I learned so much about Rumspringer.
Amazing. I'm gonna watch it because I feel like.
It's all on YouTube. All the four things on YouTube.
Amazing. Because I feel like I've seen it. Because, like, how else do I know so much about this?
No.
So weird. I have no idea.
I'll send you just the YouTube link. But, yeah, so that's my topic. Rumspringer and the Devil's Playground. Well, Devil's Playground.
Yeah. Nice, buddy. Good job, buddy.
Thank you.
Good topic.
Yes. I don't like
I'm a little jealous. Mm-hmm. Do you know what the difference between Amish and Mennonites are?
I know enough. Like, now that I've learned so much about the Amish and Rumspringa, I'm sure I'd be able to pick up on more. But from what I gathered, the Mennonites are just less strict Amish.
Oh.
I do know that their Rumspringa starts later. Rumspringa
like 18?
17, 18, yeah.
Oh.
But they do practice Rumspringa.
Oh, it's just like, it's kind of like different branches of the same-ish religion. So yeah. You know how there's like different things of Christianity?
I do.
You know that?
I do. Yep. I am very excited for just to see the title of this episode in print. Just tentacle porn and Rumspringa.
I'm going to put tentacle erotica to be tentacle a little, erotica. Class it up a little.
These two, like this is what you should check out us about.
Good. Good job, buddy. I have missed recording with you. I'm sorry it's been such a long time, but, you know, life gets in the way. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad to be back at it again with you.
Yes. We'll make sure to record very soon. But yeah, do we have anything else for the podcast this week?
No. I think just check out our other podcasts, our other, like, episodes if you haven't caught up. Mm-hmm. Leave us a review. That would be nice. Tell us what you like and what you don't like. Leave us a 5-star review. That would be very nice. And you can check me out on social media at It's Catherine Ram on literally like any social media platform. Jason, where can they find you?
They can find me at Bruddahoole. That's BRUDDAHOULE. Bruddahoole. And yeah. you can follow the podcast at YSEO Podcast.
Yes. We have, I think, a guest spot on an episode of Elementary that we've already done before. A new one is coming out. Us and 6 people in total. So that was super fun to do earlier. So keep an eye out for that, guys. We are panelists. Crazy.
Crazy.
But yeah, keep an eye out for that. Go support them. Go support VomCom. Go support Layered Butter. Literally all of our friends.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
So I think that's it for this episode of You Should Check Out. Thank you for listening.
Bye.
Bye.